Now to a writer who's also a professional reader. English author Philip Hensher is a novelist, journalist and critic, but when he's not writing award-winning books like The Northern Clemency, he's critiquing other people's work. Philip Hensher is the chief book reviewer for The Spectator magazine in the UK, and for our how-to series, he defines the art of writing a good review. He's speaking here with the book show's Kate Pearcey and begins by talking about how much of the plot a reviewer should give away.
There is a view that you shouldn't give away the ending of a novel. And I had long, long arguments with literary editors over this over the years, because I take the view that sometimes the ending of a book is just, you know, is not the most interesting part of it, but it is a convention, so you go along with it. I think you do need to tell the reader of the review what sort of thing happens in the plot. And I do think that a reader is not primarily interested in the kind of stylistic virtuosity of a novel. But, you know, as against that, I think that you must talk a little bit about texture of the book. My very strongly held view is that you can't really quote enough when you're reviewing a book. You should really let an author speak for him or herself in their own words. It's surprising how many reviewers don't do that. They just kind of summarise. But to me, you know, what an author does best, or actually indeed worst, is put a sentence together. And I can always tell whether I want to read a novel by opening it and just reading half a page in a bookshop. And if the style, if the voice is speaking to me in some kind of interesting way, then I will read the book. And I think that most readers are something like that.
Can you then write a good book review without having read the book to the very last page?
No, you mustn't do that. It's a real breach of professional trust, that. I think if you don't do that for some extraordinary reason, you must tell the reader that you've failed to do it. If you've really found the book utterly, utterly unreadable, and, you know, after all, you know, Finnegan's Wake, when it came out, had to be reviewed in some form, and I don't believe that everybody read it from beginning to end, then you must tell the reader what you've done and let him draw his own conclusions from that, either that you're an incredibly lazy reviewer, or the Spectator isn't paying you enough, or the author, conceivably, has written a book that can't be read to the end.
Well, what about when a reviewer compares the book in question with another book? Is that a no-no?
Oh, no, that's a good thing to do, I think. As long as it's an appropriate comparison, I think it's a professional duty pretty well to have read the author's other books before you review it. I would always do that, particularly a novelist. I think it does kind of make you roll your eyes a little bit when reviewers compare your book to the last fashionable book on a similar sort of subject, and you know as a writer that you're not really like that at all. But I do think that, you know, book reviewing is the art of comparison and drawing kind of intelligent comparisons with other writers.
Are you, or should one, ever be nervous about writing a negative review?
Oh, no. No, remember that, you know, publishers and an author is asking a reader to part with his hard-earned 20 quid. If you feel that you've got to be nice about an author because, you know, it's just good manners, then you're lost, really. I must say, as somebody who kind of goes out a good deal, the only time readers have come up to me and said, "You gave that book a review which I totally disagree with," is not when I've given something a bad review, but when I've given something a good review that they think it didn't deserve, and they've gone out and bought the book and absolutely loathed it. And that's happened really quite a lot. I can't remember anyone ever coming up to me and saying, "I know you didn't like that book, but I thought it was wonderful, and you shouldn't have written that review."
What about the personal tastes of the reader as opposed to that of the reviewer? Do you acknowledge your own, say, "I don't like magic realism, but this book was blah blah"?
Well, I would try not to review a book if it was just a genre that didn't really speak to me, and there are genres that don't particularly speak to me, but I would really kind of avoid that. I think it's not really fair. I think, yes, there are moments when you shrug your shoulders and you say, well, you know, this is just my personal taste. I think I would review two books in succession by an author, and I didn't like two books in a row. I think after that, I would just shrug my shoulders and say, well, clearly some people like this author very much, it's just me, and pass over the next one. I have a total blank spot with Ian McEwan, and I know that a lot of people really admire his books, and I'm sure they're very, very good, but they're just not my sort of thing. And so, I generally kind of, when one comes up, I generally kind of pass over it.
Is writing a good book review a separate skill to writing fiction?
Inevitably, you bring your knowledge of what it's like to write a novel to writing a book review. I mean, clearly they are, different skills. You have to keep something going for 100,000 words in the one instance and, 800 or 1,000 words in the other. But you do bring your knowledge of professional tricks, I would say, to a review. And I'm always a little bit amused when a reviewer falls for really quite a corny old trick in a novel. And I've noticed that there's a certain sort of reviewer that will always describe a novel as brilliantly vividly written, when what they actually mean is it's written in the present tense. And that's something that I think is just a kind of a slightly kind of dead trick that people learn about at creative writing schools.
Well, the internet's also made reviews more accessible in terms of the English-speaking world, at least. So who were some of your favourite reviewers? Are there people you do read?
I don't, actually. Perhaps I should. I'm not a great reader of reviews, largely because I don't think it's a great idea to read what everyone else is saying about the new novel out this week. But I guess in England, I quite like Adam Mars-Jones, who I think really knows his stuff. I always quite like Michiko Kakutani whenever I come across her, but I must say I do like novelist reviewers. I would always read a book review by Martin Amis, or I would have read a book review by John Updike. The last book review by John Updike, which came out after his death, was a kind of strangely moving reading experience. He was just such a wonderful reader as well as anything else. But no, it's not really one of those professions, if it's a profession at all, where you keep an eye on the competition.
English novelist there and critic Philip Hensher on the ins and outs of writing a good book review. He was speaking with The Book Show's Kate Piercy. His latest novel, The Northern Clemency, is published by HarperCollins, and you can read his book reviews online at the Spectator website. Well, that's the end of The Book Show for today. Tomorrow, what do you do when you inherit the literary gene in spades? Well, we'll hear the answer from Alexander Waugh, whose father was journalist Auberon Waugh, his grandfather was Evelyn, his uncle was Alec, his great-grandfather was Arthur. That's quite a family legacy, and Alexander's book, Fathers and Sons, gives an intimate account of five generations of war men. We'll hear him talk about strict parenting, homosexuality, masturbation, and Catholicism in the war family. That's on tomorrow. You can hear this program again tonight at 8 p.m, or you can go to the website, abc.net.au/rn/bookshow. I'm Ramona Koval on ABC Radio National, shortly First Person.